Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on living in perilous times was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And so, without the influence of the Holy Spirit, there is no drawing towards God. People use the statement all the time and say, I found God. Truth is, God wasn't lost. You didn't find God. God found you. God started drawing you. It was God influencing you that has given you concern. For you to be here on a Friday morning listening to me speak, you know what? It's because God has influenced your heart. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. There's all kinds of things you could be doing, but you are here because you've been influenced by the Holy Spirit. Being reprobate means that since people resist God, since they can constantly just deny and reject this inner conviction and the drawing of the Holy Spirit, you can reach a place to where God will literally take His drawing away, and no man can come unto the Father if the Holy Spirit quit draws him. That's a bad state. You don't want to go there. You don't want to get to a place to where you no longer are under conviction. And I believe that there are some people today who are, you know, shaking their fist at God and saying they're an atheist and that there is no God, and they look like they have no conviction. Either they are denying what is really going on in their heart and they're playing a mind game and trying to convince themselves. And I think there's a lot of people like that. Or they have been given over to a reprobate mind, and God, and they're gone. There's no hope for those people. Once God quits drawing you, you're damned. There is no help. And notice, it gave a progression of things here, and the very last step before God gives you over to a reprobate mind is when you start getting into lesbianism and homosexuality. It starts talking about how there's these progressive steps away. And the very last step is homosexuality. And boy, we are seeing such a resurgence of that today. We are on the verge of being reprobate to where God will just let us go. And look at this. It says in verse 29 that He gave them over to a reprobate mind, verse 28, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. That's kind of just a general term for all of the things that they do. And then this lists 22 things that are going to be a result of being given over to a reprobate mind, and they are nearly word for word what was listed in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's just phrased differently, but it's describing the same thing. Here's what they are given over to in verse 29. It says fornication, wickedness, covetousness. We talked about that last night out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Maliciousness is just intent to hurt. And one of the things we talked about 2 Timothy chapter 3 was fierceness. And it says full of envy. Envy is a part of pride, boasters, and all this stuff. Murder, debate, deceit, which we talked about truce breakers and false accusers. Malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Despiteful, proud, that was one of the things listed in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Boasters, that was 2 Timothy chapter 3. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, that was in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in that list that we talked about. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, which is talk that was listed in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's talking about that you don't love family members, the breakup of the home, that people don't even love their blood kin. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is talking about the exact same thing that we read about last night. But last night, it was 2 Timothy chapter 3 listed these 19 things, and it says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. In Romans, it talks about that the gospel is the power of God. But then, if you don't accept the gospel, and if you turn away from this intuitive revelation of God that He's placed in your heart, eventually you can degenerate, harden your heart to a place that God will make take away all conviction from you, and then it lists all of those things. So it's really talking about the exact same thing we talked about last night. It just reverses the order. Instead of listing these things and say they deny the power, turn away, it tells you what the power is, and then it says if you don't respond to this and if you harden your heart against it, then you degenerate into these things. So here's what I want to focus on in Romans 1:16. It says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So you put this together, 2 Timothy 3:5, they deny the power. What they are doing is denying the gospel. And the gospel needs to be explained because it's become a religious cliche today. Most people, when you say the word gospel, it just refers to anything to do with Christianity. I've actually been in churches before where the guy's up there screaming and yelling and saying, "You're going to go to hell, repent or else, turn or burn." And then they say, "Man, I get flack for preaching the gospel." That's not the gospel. The word gospel literally means good news. And if you study it out, I actually read a commentary on this, and they said that outside of the Bible, there is only two times in all of Greek literature that we have access to today, there's only two times that same Greek word is used outside of the Bible. They said it did exist, but it was so rare that it was seldom ever used because it not only means good news, but it would be more accurate to say that it's talking about nearly too good to be true news. It was a superlative. It was talking about something that was so awesome, so wonderful, that there was no reason to even use the word until Jesus came along. It's not just meaning good news. It's meaning the nearly too good to be true news. Now let me say that believing that there is a hell is true, but that's not nearly too good to be true news. Believing that if you don't repent that you will go to hell is true, but that is not nearly too good to be true news. And what is being called preaching the gospel and evangelism today, where we're going out to people and saying, "Repent or else, turn or burn." And you just go up to a person, do you know where you'd go right now if you were to die? Are you going to go to heaven or hell? Repent or else? People are calling that the gospel. And that's not the gospel. This is what most churches are preaching. They're preaching an accountability to God, and that God is angry and God's mad, and you repent or else the wrath of God is going to come. Let me make some more applications. Preaching that this nation is not living godly is true, but that's not the gospel. Saying that if you don't repent that the wrath of God is going to fall and God's going to judge you and hurricanes are going to come and California is going to fall into the ocean and there's going to be an earthquake and he's going to wipe out all of unholy wood out here and he's going to do all of these kind of things and, you know, the wrath of God. You know what? That's not the gospel. And again, I made reference to this, but Romans 2:4 says that it's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. You can draw more people to, you can draw more bees to honey than you can to vinegar. Amen. Preaching good news would draw more people to God than preaching the wrath and the judgment of God, trying to drive them to God. And so there needs to be a redefinition of what the gospel is, because what the church is calling the gospel today, they're up there telling people, "God's angry at you, God's mad." You know what? I've read a number of scriptures against homosexuality. I believe that homosexuality is sin. But you know what? I don't believe God hates homosexuals. I don't believe that God's mad at them. I believe that God has forgiven homosexuals. And you need to tell them that God loves them and that God can forgive them and that they can still have a relationship with God. Now, they need to quit homosexuality because it's a direct inroad of Satan into their life. It says right here that they receive in their own body the recompense of what they're doing, and it's just. It doesn't mean that God does it. Did you know AIDS is a byproduct of living in sin? You open up a door to the devil, and it just allows the devil to come in and destroy you. It's stupid. But God loves you, stupid. Amen. I'm not saying God's mad at you. I'm just saying it's stupid to live that way. Quit doing it. It's going to destroy you. The statistics show that homosexuals have 2, 3, 4, I forget the exact details, number of suicides. Depression is rampant, and on you could go. There is nothing good associated with that lifestyle. But God loves those people. God is offering forgiveness to them. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. You can be forgiven of that. Amen? But see, the church is up here not only saying that homosexuality is wrong, but then preaching the wrath of God. If you continue in this, God's going to get you. That is not going to draw homosexuals to God. You need to tell them that God loves them and that God has something better for them than that. And that's the way that we're supposed to draw them. So the gospel is the nearly too good to be true news. Let me just take a couple of verses, like over in Galatians chapter 1. Look at this passage. In Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is speaking. And in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Notice in verse 6 that he uses the term grace of Christ and gospel interchangeably. This same thing is done in Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Let me just read this to you quickly. Acts 20, 24 is what I meant. This is where Paul is preaching at a minister's conference. In Acts 20, 24, it says, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of Christ. And this is done a number of places. You'll find a number of places where the word grace and gospel are used interchangeably. Grace is talking about what God does for us completely separate from our performance, completely divorced from anything that we deserve. Grace has nothing to do with you.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to live through perilous times. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Southern California Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM232 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come to one of our Gospel Truth seminars. We hold them all around the country. You, of course, get the teaching, but I also bring as many as 10 to 20 or 30 students with me. We pray with people. We've been seeing great miracles. I mean, people heal, come out of wheelchairs, blind eyes open. We also have personal ministry. I visit with people before and after the service. There's just so much more to one of our Gospel Truth seminars than what you can get right here over the radio. So I encourage you to please take advantage of these Gospel Truth seminars.